Terror strikes Pakistan again. Security forces respond with overwhelming force, but his military might making things worse. Good evening, I'm your host. Tonight on Global Crossfire, we're examining Pakistan's latest security crisis and what it means for regional stability. Joining us, Dr. Rachel Thornton, Senior Fellow at the Brookings Institution from Washington, D.C., Dr. Sophie Laurent, Director of Institut Montaigne from Paris, Professor Chen Xiaoming, Tech Policy Expert at Fudan University from Shanghai, and Dr. Nguyen Than, ASEAN Policy Expert from Hanoi. Dr. Thornton, Pakistan's military first response to terrorism, effective strategy or dangerous escalation?
Look, the data is mixed at best. Pakistan's kinetic operations have eliminated high-value targets, yes, but they've also displaced hundreds of thousands of civilians and created new grievances. We're seeing a whack-a-mole pattern crush militancy in one area, it pops up elsewhere. The real issue is Pakistan's failure to address root causes, economic marginalization, weak governance, and the toxic relationship between intelligence services and extremist proxies. Military action without comprehensive reform is just expensive theater.
Professor Chen, she's calling Pakistan's security strategy expensive theater. Your response?
That's remarkably naive. Pakistan faces existential threats from groups that explicitly reject negotiation. When terrorists attack schools and markets, what's the alternative? Diplomatic tea parties. China's experience with our own security challenges shows that decisive action, combined with development investment, works. The China-Pakistan Economic Corridor has brought stability to previously volatile regions through infrastructure and economic opportunity. Military operations create space for development. The Western approach of endless process over results has failed everywhere from Afghanistan to Syria.
But Professor, Pakistan's own Human Rights Commission documented over 3,000 civilian casualties in these operations. How do you justify that collateral damage?
Every civilian death is tragic, but what's the alternative death toll if these terrorists operate freely? The Taliban killed 150 schoolchildren in Peshawar. These groups don't distinguish between military and civilian targets. Pakistan's security forces do, even if imperfectly.
Dr. Laurent, you've been studying European counterterrorism approaches. Can Pakistan learn from European experiences?
France's experience in the Sahel offers sobering lessons. Military intervention without political solutions creates dependency, not security. Pakistan needs what Europe learned painfully, that counterterrorism requires intelligence cooperation, judicial reform, and community engagement, not just airstrikes. The AU's approach emphasizes building institutional capacity, but here's the critical difference. Pakistan's military sees itself as the solution, not part of the problem. Until civilian institutions can challenge military dominance, these cycles will continue.
Dr. Nguyen, how does this look from Southeast Asia, a region that's dealt with its own terrorist challenges?
ASEAN's experience shows that sustainable counterterrorism requires regional cooperation and economic inclusion. Indonesia's success against Jemaah Islamiyah came through community policing and de-radicalization programs, not just military operations. But Pakistan faces a unique challenge. Its neighbors are competitors, not partners. India, Afghanistan, Iran, these relationships are adversarial. Vietnam learned that security without development is temporary. Pakistan needs what we had, neighbors invested in stability, not chaos.
Dr. Thornton, Professor Chen clearly believes China's approach offers a better model than Western strategies. Respond to that directly.
China's stability in Xinjiang involves mass surveillance and detention camps. If that's the model Pakistan should follow, we're talking about systematic oppression, not counterterrorism.
That's Western propaganda deflection. I'm talking about economic development and infrastructure investment. The U.S. spent $2 trillion in Afghanistan and left behind chaos. China's investments create lasting stability.
Infrastructure projects that create debt dependency aren't counterterrorism, they're economic colonialism. Pakistan needs governance reform, not more Chinese loans it can't repay.
Rapid fire round. Dr. Laurent, should international partners condition aid on human rights improvements?
Absolutely. Aid without accountability enables authoritarian drift. Pakistan's military needs to know that international support comes with civilian oversight requirements.
Professor Chen, is Pakistan's relationship with the Taliban helping or hurting counterterrorism efforts?
Pakistan inherited this Taliban relationship from U.S. policy failures. Now they must work with Afghan realities, not Western fantasies about who should govern Afghanistan.
Dr. Nguyen, can Pakistan balance great power competition while fighting terrorism?
Pakistan's trapped between Chinese investment and U.S. security demands. Like ASEAN states, it needs strategic autonomy partners, not patrons.
Dr. Thornton, what's the biggest risk if Pakistan's current approach fails?
State fragmentation. Pakistan's nuclear weapons in an increasingly unstable country should terrify everyone. Military-only solutions accelerate that instability.
Final thoughts, Dr. Thornton, 30 seconds.
Pakistan needs comprehensive reform, judicial, economic, political. Military operations buy time, but only civilian-led governance creates lasting security.
Regional cooperation is essential. Pakistan can't solve terrorism alone, but neither can it rely solely on military solutions.
Development and decisive action work together. Pakistan's security forces deserve support, not constant second-guessing from distant capitals.
Pakistan's challenge is governance, not just security. Include communities in solutions, don't just impose military control.
The debate continues as Pakistan searches for security without sacrificing stability. Tomorrow, climate diplomacy at COP, are developing nations being left behind? Thanks for watching Global Crossfire.